Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, final chapter, which is called Moksha Yoga, the Path of Liberation. Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, Ki Jai, Jai Bhagavad Gita Study Group, Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Gita Shastram Idam Punyam Japatet Prayata Pumam Vishnu Padam Avapnoti Bhaya Shokadi Bhajita. Chapter 18, Moksha Yoga, the Path of Liberation. Arjuna uvacha sannyasasya mahabaho tatvam icchami veditam chagasya charishi kesha prithak keshini shudana. Arjuna uvacha sannyasasya mahabaho tatvam icchami veditam chagasya charishi kesha Pritake Shenisudana. Arjun said, O Almighty Lord, slayer of the demon Keshi, I wish to understand the subject of renunciation, sannyas, and detachment, tyag, separately. Sri Bhagavanuvacha Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam Sannyasam Kavayo Vidhu Sarva Karma Phala Tyagam Prahaschagam Vichakshana. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kamyanam Kamanam Yasam Sanyasam Kavayo Vidhu Sarva Kama Phala Chagam Prahaschagam Vichakshana. The Supreme Lord said, learned, enlightened persons know the giving up of fruitive action as renunciation, and the giving up of the fruits of all action as detachment. Chajam dosavadike karma prahor manishina yagyadana tapa karma natyagyam iti chappare. Chajam dosavadike karma prahor manishina Yagya dana tapa karma nachajamitichapore. Some philosophers hold that action should be renounced as imperfect. Others hold that action of the nature of sacrifice, charity, and austerity should never be given up. Nischayam sinume tatra chage bharata sattama chago hi purushab Vyagra tribidha samprakirtitai Nischayam shinume tatra Chage bharata satama Chago hi purusho vyagra Tribidha samprakirtita. O best of the Bharatas, hear my perfect conclusion concerning detachment, the quality of renunciation. Since, O best of men, it has been clearly established that the quality of renunciation is of three types. Yagyadana tapa karma na chajyam karyam eva tat Yagyadanam tapaschaiva pavanani manishinam Yagyadana tapa karma na chajyam karyam eva tat Yagyo dama tapas chaiva havanani manishinam. Actions of the nature of sacrifice, charity, and austerity should never be abandoned. They must be performed, for they are the purifiers of the wise. Etani api tukarmani sangam chakta falani cha katvyan iti me parta Nischitam matra uttamam. Etanyapi tu karmani, sangam chakcha phalani cha, kartavyaniti me parta, nischitam matam uttamam. But even these actions must be performed, abandoning attachment and fruitive desire. O Partha, know this to be my perfect, supreme conclusion. Niyatasya tu sanyasa, karmano nopapadyate, mohatasya prityagas, tamasa parikirtita. Niyatasya tu sanyasa, karmano nopapadyate, mohatasya prityagas, tamasa parikirtitai. Renunciation of one's obligatory duties is wrong. The delusion of giving up these duties is called false renunciation, or renunciation of the nature of ignorance. Dukkham ityeva yat karma kaya klesha bayat chajet sakritva rajasam tyagam naiva tyaga phalam labet. Dukkham ityeva yat karma kaya klesha bayat chajet sakritva rajasam tyagam naiva tyaga phalam labet. One who abandons his obligatory duties out of fear of physical discomfort, considering them troublesome, performs renunciation of the nature of passion. Thus, he does not attain the fruit of true detachment. Karjam mityeva yat karma niyatam kriyate arjuna sangam chakta phalam chayeva satyaga satviko mataha. Karjam yecheva yat karma niyatam kriyate arjuna sangam chakta phalam chayeva satyaga satviko mataha. O Arjuna, performance of obligatory works as a matter of duty while abandoning attachment and fruitive desire is renunciation of the nature of goodness. This is my opinion. Nadvesta kushalam karma kushale nanusajate tyagi sattva samavishto medavi chinna samshaya. Nadvesta kushalam karma kusale nanusajate tyagi sattva samavishto medhavi chinna samshaya. The wise renunciate who is absorbed in the nature of goodness and who has slashed all doubts neither resents disagreeable duties nor is attached to agreeable works. Nahi deha brita sakyam chaktum karmanyasheshasata yastu karma phala tyagi satyagityabhi abhidhiyate nahi deha brita sakyam chaktum karmanyasheshata yastu karma phala tyagi satyagityabhi diyate. It is not possible for the embodied soul to fully renounce actions. However, one who renounces the fruits of his actions is a true renunciate. Anistam istam mishram cha trividham karmana phalam bhavachatyaginam precha natu sanyasinam kvachit. Anistam istam mishram cha trividham karmana phalam bhavachatyaginam precha natu sanyasinam kvachit. After death, the three kinds of fruits of actions, good, bad and mixed, accrue to those who have worldly desires, but never to those who are renounced. Panchaitani mahabaho karanani nibodame sankhe kritante proktani siddhaye sarva karmanam. Panchaitani mahabaho karanani nibodame, sankhye kritante proktani, siddhaye sarvakarmanam. O mighty hero, know from me of the five causes of the accomplishment of all actions, as described in the conclusive teachings of the scripture known as Sankhya or Vedanta. Adhisthanam tata karta karanam cha pritak vidham vividas cha pritak chesta daivam chai varta panchamam. Adhisthanam tata karta karanam cha pritak vidham vividas cha pritak chesta daivam chai varta panchamam. All actions are accomplished by these five causes. The body, the performer, ego, a knot of spirit and matter, the instrument, the senses, the various endeavors, and the divine, the supersoul. Sharira vammano birjat kama prarabhate nara nyayam va viparitam va panchaite tasya hetava. Sharira vanmano birjat kama pravayate nara nayam va viparitam va panchaite tasya hetava. Whether lawful or unlawful, whatever action a man performs with his body, mind or speech is caused by these five elements. Tatraivam sati kartaram atmanam kevalam tuja pasyatta kritta buddhitvam nasa pasyati durmati. Tatraivam sati kartaram atmanam kevalam tuja pasyatta kritta buddhitvam nasa pasyati durmati. But an ignorant person who sees only himself as the doer does not actually see, due to his impure intelligence. Yasya nahangrito bhavo buddhiyasya nalipyate hatvapi sa imalokan nahanti na nibadyate. Yasya nahangrito bhavo buddhiyasya nalipyate hatvapi sa imalokan snahanti nam nibhajyate. He who is free from egoism, aversion to the absolute, and whose intelligence is not implicated in worldly action, even if he kills the entire world, he neither kills nor is he bound by action. Jnanam gyeyam parigyata tribidhar karma chodana karanam karma karteti tribidha karma sangraha. Jnanam gyeyam parigyata tribidha karma chodana karanam karma karteti tribidha karma sangraha. These three are the driving force of action: knowledge, the knowable, and the knower. These three are the constitution of action: the instrument, the action, and the performer. Jnanam karma cha karta cha tridaiva guna bedata prochate guna sankhyane jatavach chinnu chanyapi. Jnanam karma cha karta cha tridaiva guna bedata prochate guna sankhyane jatavach chinnu tanyapi. In the Sankhya scripture, knowledge, action, and the performer have each been classified according to the three modes of material nature. Now hear of these from me. Sarvabhuteshu yenaikam bhavam avyayam ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu tadjnanam vidisatvikam. Sarvabhuteshu yenaikam bhavam avyaya ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu tadjnanam vidisatvikam. That knowledge by which the one imperishable and undivided principle, my superior divine potency, is seen to be present in all the diverse living beings, is to be known as knowledge of the nature of goodness. Pritak tvena tu yajjnanam nanabhavam pritak vidhan vetti sarve shubhuteshu tajjnanam vidirajasam. Tagdena tu yajnam nanabhavam pritag vidam veti sarveshu bhuteshu tajnam vidirajasam. That knowledge in which one experiences in the plane of living beings many separate independent entities engaged in many separate clashing pursuits is to be known as knowledge of the nature of passion. Tattu kritsnavad ekasmin karye shaktam ahoitukam atatvarta vadalabham cha tatamasam udharitam yattu kritsnavad ekasmin karye shaktam ahoitukam atatvarta vadalabham cha tatamasam udharitam. And that ideology which is stubbornly attached to the peripheral only, considering it to be all in all, without spiritual or scriptural conception, without seeking the truth, and based on trivialities alone, is said to be knowledge of the animalistic nature of ignorance. Niyatam sangarahitam araga dveshata kritam afalam prepshuna karma yattat sattvikam uchate niyatam sangarahitam aragdveshatakritam afala prasivana karma yattat sattvikam uchate. That obligatory action which is faithfully executed without attachment by a person who does not seek its rewards and who is unbiased by likes and dislikes is said to be action of the nature of goodness. Yattu karma shuna karma sahankarena va puna kriyate bahula yasam tadrajasam udharitam yattu karma shuna karma shankarena va puna kriyate bahula yasam tadraja samudaritam. And that action which is performed with great endeavor by an egoistic person, desiring its fruits, is said to be action of the nature of passion. Anubandham kayam hingsam anapeksha cha porusam mohad arbayate karma yattattam asam uchate anubandham kayam ninsam anapeksha cha paurusam mohad arbayate karma yattattam asam uchate. And that work which is undertaken out of delusion, without consideration for its consequences, its loss, harm to others, and one's capability of performing it, is called action of the nature of ignorance. Muktasango naham vadi drichutasha samanvita siddhya siddhyor nivikara karta sattvika uchate. Muktasango naham vadi drichutasam samanvita siddhya siddhyor nivikara karta sattvika uchate. The worker who is unattached, without ego, patient, enthusiastic, and unaffected in success or failure, is known as a worker of the nature of goodness. Ragi karma phala prepsur lubdho hingsatmako suci harsha shok kanvita karta rajasa parikirtita ragi karma phala pretsu lubdo hingsatmako suci harsha shokam vitam karta rajasa parikirtita. The worker who is attached, desirous of the fruits of action, covetous, cruel, engaged in abominable practices not sanctioned by the scriptures, and always subject to joy and sorrow, is known as a worker of the nature of passion. Ajukta prakrita stabdha sato nais kritiko lasa visadi dirga sutricha karta tamasa uchate ajukta prakrita stabda shato naishito lasa basadi dirga sutricha karta tamasa uchate. The worker who is uncontrolled, vulgar, arrogant, deceitful, offensive, lazy, despondent, and a procrastinator is known as a worker of the nature of ignorance. Buddher bedam drites chaiva gunatas trividham srinu prochayamanam asheshena prittakitvena dananjaya. Buddher bedam drites chaiva gunatas trividham srinu prochatmanam asheshena pritakdvena dananjaya. O Dananjay, now listen attentively. I shall clearly describe the three types of intelligence and determination according to the modes of nature. Pravritim cha navritim cha karya karye vaya baye bandham moksham chaya beti buddhi sa partha sattviki pravritim cha navritim cha karya karye vaya baye bandham moksham chaya beti buddhi sa partha sattviki. O Partha, intelligence of the nature of goodness is that which can distinguish virtuous engagement and abstinence from vice, duty and non-duty, danger and safety, and bondage and liberation. Yaya dharmam adharmam cha karjam chakarjameva cha ayatatvat pragyanati buddhisa partharajasi. Yaya dharmam adharmam cha karjam chakaryam eva cha ayatavat prajanati buddhisa partharajasi. O Partha, intelligence of the nature of passion is that which causes an erroneous perception of religion, irreligion, duty and non-duty. Adharmam dharmam itija manyate tamasavrita sarvatam viparitam cha buddhi sa partha tamasi. Adharmam dharmam itija manyate tamasavrita sarvatam viparitam cha buddhi sa partha tamasi. Intelligence of the nature of ignorance is covered by illusion, whereby vice is considered virtue and everything is taken to be the opposite of the reality. Drityaya darayate manna pranendriya kriya yogenabhya vicharinya drittisa partha sattviki. Drityaya darayate mana pranendriya kriya yogena vaivicharanya drityas partha sattviki. O Partha, Determination of the nature of goodness is that determination which unfailingly and with single-minded concentration controls the functions of the mind, the life airs, and the senses. Yaya tu dharma karmartam dritya darya yate arjuna prasangena phalankankshi dritti sa partha rajasi
yaya
karmartam dritya darya yate arjuna prasangena phalankankshi dritti sa partha rajasi. O Partha, O Arjuna, determination of the nature of passion is that fruitive attached determination which adheres to religiosity for the purpose of amassing wealth to fulfill mundane desires. Yaya svapnam bayam sokam vishadam madameva cha navimuchati dharmedha drittisa tamasi mata. Yaya swapnam bayam chokam vishadam madameva cha navimuchati dharmeda drittisa tamasi mata. Determination of the nature of ignorance is that by which a foolish person does not give up sleep, fear, sorrow, depression, and arrogance. Sukam tvad idanim tribidham shinume baratar shaba abhyasad ramate jatra dukkanantam cha nigachchati. Sukam tvad idanim tribidham shinume baratar shaba abhyasad ramate jatra dukkantam cha nigachchati. Yattat agre visham eva pariname mrito pamam tatsukam satvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. Yattat agre visham eva pariname mrito pamam tatsukam satvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. O Bharatarshaba, now hear from me about the three kinds of happiness, that state in which one is joyful through his practices while attaining the cessation of all unhappiness, and which in the beginning is like poison, but ultimately like nectar, and which is born of the purity of self-realization. That happiness is said to be of the nature of goodness. Vishayendriya samyogad jatad agre mrito pamam pariname visham eva tatsukam rajasam smritam. Vishayendriya samyogad jatad agre mrito pamam pariname visham eva tatsukam rajasam smritam. That happiness which is born of the contact of the senses with their objects, and which is like nectar in the beginning but poison in the end, is said to be happiness of the nature of passion. Yat agre chanubande cha sukam mohanam atmanai nidralasya pramadotam tatamasam udaritam. Yadagre channu bande cha sukham mohananatmana nidralasya pramodatam tattamasam udadritam. That happiness which is self-deception from beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion, is called happiness of the nature of ignorance. Natadasti prithivyamva divideva puna satvam prakriti jarmuktam yat ebhi syatribir gunai. Natadasti prithivyamva divideva puna satvam prakriti jarmuktam Yadevisyatribirgunai. Amongst all species on earth, including the humans, or amongst even the celestial gods in the heavenly plane, there is no entity that can be free from these three modes which are born of material nature. Brahmana Kattriya Visham Sudranam Cha Parantapa Karmani Pravibhaktani Swabhava Prabhavargunai. Brahmana Kattriya Visham Sudranam Cha Parantapa Karmani Prabhivaktani Swabhava Prabhavayagunai. O Parantapa, according to their natures, the duties of the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras are appropriately classified. Sammodamas tapa socham kantirajavamevacha jnanam vijnanam asityam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam shamodamas tapa socham chantiravyam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Internal and external sense control, austerity, purity, forbearance, straightforwardness, knowledge, realization, and theistic mentality. These are the natural duties of the Brahmins. Shorjam tejo dhritir daksham juddechap apalayanam danam ishara bhavascha kattam karma sabhavajam surjam tejo dhritir daksham yudechap apalayanam danam ishvara bhavascha katrim karma sabhavajam. Prowess, valor, endurance, dexterity, never retreating in battle, generosity and regality, these are the characteristic duties of the Kshatriyas. Kri goraksha vanijyam vaisham karma sabhavajam Paricharyat manakam karma sudrasyapi svabhavajam krigo karsha vaniyam vaishya karma svabhavajam paricharyat makam karma sudrasyapi svabhavajam. Agriculture, cow protection and trade are the natural work of the Vaishyas, and natural to the Shudras is service to the Brahmins, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, assisting them in their various works. Sve sve karmanyabhirata samsidhim labhate nara swakarma nirata siddhim jatavindati tachtrinu sve sve karmanyabhirata samsidhim labhate nara swakarma nirita siddhim jata vindati tachtrinu. 45. One who devotes himself to his own duty attains perfection in self-knowledge. Now hear from me how a person attains perfection through devotion in his own duty. Jata pravritti bhutanam jena sarvam idam tatam sva karmanatam abhyacharya siddhim bindati mannava jata pravritti bhutanam jena sarvam idam tatam sva karmanatam abhyacharya siddhim bindati mannavaha. A man achieves perfection by worshipping through his prescribed duties. The Supreme Lord from whom all beings originate, by whom all beings are engaged, and who individually and collectively pervades the entire universe. Shreyan swadharmo vigguna paradharmat swanustitat svabhava niyatam karma kurvam napnoti kilbisham shreyan sadharma vigunna paradharma svanushtitat svabhava niyatam karma kurvam napnoti kilbisham. One whose duty, though imperfect, one's own duty, though imperfect, is better than another's executed well. Sin is never incurred by a man fulfilling the duty prescribed according to his nature. Sahajam karma kunteya sadosham apinatyajet sarvaramba hidoshena damune agnir ivavrita sajam karma kunteya sadosham apninachajet sarvaramba hidoshena damune agnir ivavrita. O Kunteya, even though it may be imperfect, one should not give up the duty prescribed according to his nature. Verily, all action, karma, is generally covered by imperfection, as fire is covered by smoke. Ashakta buddhi sarvatra jitatma vigata spriha naiskarmya siddhim paramam sanyasena digachati. Ashakta buddhi sarvatra jitatma vigata spriha naiskarmya siddhim paramam sanyasa sannigacchati. One who has the wisdom of detachment from all mundane objects, who is self-controlled, and whose desires have gone, such a person attains the perfection of transcending all duties in the world by renouncing the fruits of his actions. Siddhim prapto jata brahma tatapnoti nibodame samasena iva kunteya nista yagyasya ya paraha. Siddhim prapto jata brahma tatapnoti nibodame samyasena iva kunteya nista gyanasya ya paraha. O Kunteya, now know from me in brief how the person who has attained transcendence of all duties reaches the transcendental plane of the Absolute, the ultimate stage of knowledge, spiritual awakening. Buddhya vishuddhaya jokto drityatmanam niyamacha shabdadin vishayang chaktva raga desho yudasya cha buddhya vishuddhaya yukto drityatmanam niyama cha shabdam vishayam chakta raga desho yudasya cha vivikta sevi lagvasi jatavakkaya manasa Jnana yoga para nityam vairagyam samuparshita vivikta sevi lagvasi jatavakkaya manasa Jnana yoga para nityam vairagyam samuparshita ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodam parigraham vimuccha nirmama shanto brahma bhuyaya kalpate ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodam parigraham vimuccha nirmama shanto brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Endowed with intelligence of the nature of goodness, mentality controlled through determination of the nature of goodness, rejecting the sense objects of sound, touch, form, taste and smell, abandoning attachment and aversion, free from the association of materialistic persons, a temperate eater, disciplining the body, mind, and speech, constantly absorbed in thought of the Supreme Lord, and fully detached from the mundane world, giving up ego, power, vanity, desire, anger, and possessiveness, not thinking of anything as mine, being at peace, such a person is qualified for spiritual realization. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na Shokchati na Kangshati Sama Sarvesha Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na Shokchati na Kangshati Sama Sarvesha Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. The joyful hearted, enlightened soul who has attained his divine nature, neither sorrows nor desires. Seeing all beings equally, he comes to attain transcendental loving devotion for me. Bhakchamam abhijanati javam jas chasmi tatvata tatomam tatvato gyatva vishyate tananantaram. Bhakchamam abhijanati javam jas chasmi tatvata tato mam tatvato gyata vishyate tadanantaram. Through devotion, he realizes that I am the Lord of all potencies and the sweet absolute. Then, realizing his divine relationship with me, he enters the company of my intimate associates who are non-different from my very self. Sarvakarmanyapi sada kurvano madvyapashraya matprasada davapnoti shashvatam padamavyayam. Sarvakarmanyapi sada kurvano madvyapashraya matprasada davapnoti shashvatam padamavyayam. Although ever active in all duties, those who have taken refuge in me attain by my grace the eternal, indestructible plane of service. Cetasa sarvakarmani mayi sanyasa sanyasya matparaha buddhiyogam apashritya machchittam satatam bhava. Cetasa sarvakarmani mayi sanyasya matparaha buddhi yogam upashritya machchittam satatam bhava. Wholeheartedly offering your every action to me, keeping me as the supreme objective, and fully dedicating your intelligence to me, being unattached to worldly action, be ever devoted to me. Machchittas sarvadurgani matprasadat tarishyasi attachetvam ahankaran na shroshyasi vinakshasyasi. Machchita sarvadurgani matprasadat tarishyasi attachetvam ahankaran na shroshyasi vinakshasi. Giving your heart to me, you will be able to overcome all obstacles by my grace. But if out of pride you do not heed my words, you will perish. Yadahankaram ashritya na yotsya iti manyase mityaiva vyavasashayaste prakritistvam niyokshyati. Yadahankaram ashritya na yochya iti manyase mityaiva vyagasasyaste prakritistvam niyoksute. Out of pride you are thinking, I shall not fight. But your decision will be in vain, for your nature as a kshatriya will compel you to fight. Shababa jena kunteya nibadha svena karmana kartam negachasi janmohat karishyasa vasopitat. Swababa jena kunteya nibada svena parmana kartam nityasyam zohat karishya sabasovitat. O Kuntea, being bound by the duty born of your nature, that very action which out of delusion you are now avoiding will be inevitably executed by you. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayam sarvabhutani yantrarudani mayaya. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayam sarvabhutani yantrarudani mayaya. O Arjuna, the Supreme Lord is situated in the hearts of all beings, and by his deluding potency, he causes them to revolve through many existences, like puppets riding a carousel. Tvameva sharanam gatscha sarvabhavena bharata tat prasadat param shantim stanam prapsyasi shashvatam. Tameva sharanam gacha sarva bhavena bharata tat prasada param shantim stanam prapsyasi shashvatam. O Bharat, wholeheartedly surrender to him. By his grace you will attain the supreme peace and the eternal abode. Iti te jnanam akhyatam Guyad guyataramaya vimrishyaita dashashena jate chashasitatha kuru. Iti te jnanam akhyatam guyad guyataramaya vimrishyaita dashashena jate chashasitatha kuru. I have now revealed more and more profound teachings to you. Duly consider this, and then do as you wish. Sarvaguyattamam bhuya shrinume paramam bacha istosi me dridam iti tato vakshami te hitam. Sarvaguyattamam bhuya shrinume paramam bacha isto si me dridam iti tato vakshami te chitam. Now again, hear my supreme teaching, the most hidden treasure of all. I tell you this for your benefit, as you are most dear to me. A commentary by His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj. According to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vidvad Ranjan, Commentary 9.1, the wisdom of self-realization in the second and third chapters of Sri Gita are the profound Guyam teachings of Lord Sri Krishna. The Lord's descriptions of himself as the Supreme in the seventh and eighth chapters are more profound Guyataram. As such, knowledge gives birth to devotion. In chapter 9, the most profound Guyatamam teachings begin as the Lord describes the symptoms of exclusive devotion, Kevala Bhakti. Because his devotee Arjun is very dear to him, the Lord now repeats his secret teaching for Arjun's benefit. This time, however, he reveals his most hidden of all hidden treasures, Sarva Guyatamam, his most affectionate advice. Arjun, you are most dear to me, so I will now divulge the whole truth to you. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuro mamivaishasi satyante pratijani priyoshime. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuro mamivaishasi satyante pratijani priyoshime. Think of me always. Devote yourself to me. Worship me and bow to me. And surely you will come to me. I promise you this because you are dear to me. Sarva dharmam parityaja mamikam sharanam raja, aham tam sarva papebhyo, mokshayishami ma suja, sarva dhammam parichaya, mamikam sharanam raja, aham tam sarva papebhyo, mokshayishami ma suja. Give up all kinds of religion and surrender to me alone. I will liberate you from all sins. Do not despair. Commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhadev Goswami Maharaj. Here the glory of the hidden purpose in the Bhagavad Gita is sung. Gita Gudarta Gauravam. Give up all engagements and come to me. You won't have to repent, Arjuna, because I am everything to you and you are everything to me. This is the most hidden of all hidden truths. What more can I say? And you will find this in Braja. There is a literary ornament in Sanskrit called dwani, echo, by which a word echoes or suggests an additional meaning. Here such a hint is given. Mam mekam sharanam Braja. You may go to Braja, and there you will find the most hidden of all hidden truths, sarvagu yatamam. The deepest secret of the inner loving heart has been fully revealed there. I am beyond all conceptions of religion, society, friends, everything. My position is above everything, and in the heart of everything. In the eternal land of Braja, you will experience the whole conception of beauty. Dismiss all other engagements and prospects and come to me alone. Your inner hankering will be fulfilled beyond your expectations. You will find such dignity in me that you will be beyond reaction and repentance. This is the deepest meaning of the highest glory. If one comes to this conception, everything else will be seen as sin. Aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami. Everything conceived of as duty or purity in this material world will be seen as sinful, and all conceptions of religiosity will be reduced to the level of sin. In the absolute plane, everything and everyone belongs wholly to Krishna, and the slightest deviation from this ideal is no better than committing sin. Mere self-forgetfulness leads to impersonalism and culminates in deep slumber. But self-forgetfulness, sarva-dharmam parichaya, in Krishna's service, mam ekam sharanam braja, is positive and living. It is the full absolute plane of life. The hidden treasure attracts our hearts. We have been deprived of our heart's deepest interest. Though we have a natural claim to it, it has been hidden from us. Shruti Bhrimnigyam. In an unparalleled way, Sri Gita considers all these aspects and directs us to the correct meaning and conclusion of all the Upanishads. From this point, Srimad Bhagavatam begins. Idam te natapas kaya Nabaktaya kadachana nachur shrushave vacham nachamam vyasati yati idam te natapasakaya nabaktaya kadachana nachur shrushave vacham nachamam vyasati. You should never disclose this hidden treasure to one devoid of self-sacrifice, to the non-devotee, to the faithless, to one who is averse to my service, or to one who is resentful towards me. Ya imam paramam goyam madbhakteshva vibhashyati bhaktim mai param kritva mame vaishyatyasham shaya. Ya imam paramam guyam madbhakteshvabhidashyati bhaktim mai param kritva mame vaishyashamashaya. One who reveals the glories of this supreme secret to my devotees will attain transcendental devotion for me and reach me without a doubt. Nacha tasmam manushesu kasa chinme priya kritama bhavitana chamaye tasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. Nacha tasmam manushesu kaschinme priya kritama bhavitana chamaye tasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. In the entire human society, there is no one who pleases me by his actions more than he who preaches the glories of the Bhagavad Gita, nor will there ever be anyone in this world dearer to me than he. Adye sha te cha ya imam dharmyam sambadamavayo jnana yagyena tenaham istasyam iti me mati adyeshate chayam imam dharmayam sambadam yena jnana yagyena tenaham istasyam iti me mati. And one who studies with devotion this holy conversation of ours will worship me by the knowledge sacrifice. This is my conclusion. Shraddhavam manushuyascha shunuyadapiyo nara sopimukta shava lokan prapnuyat punyakarmanam. Shraddhavam manushuyascha shinuyadapiyo nara sopimukta shava lokan prapnuyat punyakarmanam. Simply by hearing this with an open heart, a faithful person is liberated and attains to the auspicious abodes of the virtuous souls. Kacchid etach chrutam parta tvayai gagrena cetasa kacchid agyana samoho pranashtas te dananjaya kacchid etach chrutam parta Tvaya kakrena chetasa katschi yagyana samoha pranaste dananjaya. O Partha, have you listened to this with your undivided attention? O Dananjaya, are you now free from the darkness of your delusion? Arjuna uvacha nashtamoho smritir labda tvat prasadam mayachchuta stittosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava naso moha smritir labda tvat prasadam maya chuta stittosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Arjun said, O infallible one, by your grace my delusion is now gone. I can now remember who I am. My doubts are destroyed, and I am firm in my resolve. I shall follow your instructions. Sanjaya uvacha ityaham vasudevasya partasya cha mahatmana samvadamam imam ashrosham adbhutam romaharshanam. Sanjaya uvacha ityaham vasudevasya partasya cha mahatmana samvadam imam ashrosham adbhutam romaharshana. Sanjaya said, thus I heard this wondrous conversation of the supreme soul Vasudev and the son of Pritha Arjun, which arouses ecstasy in the hearts of all. Vyasa prasadach trutabham imam guyam aham param yogam yogeshwarat krishnat sakshat kata yata swayam. Vyasa pradach trutabham imam guyam aham param Yogam Yogeshwarat Krishnat Sakshat Kata Jata Swayam. By the mercy of Sri Vyasadeva, I heard this supreme secret teaching of Yoga, sung directly by the Supreme Lord of Yoga, Lord Sri Krishna himself. Rajan sam smritya sam smritya samvadam amim adbhutam keshavarjunayo punyam rishyami cha muhur muhu. Rajan sam smritya sam smritya samvadam amim adbhutam keshavarjunayo punyam rishyami cha muhur muhu. O King, ever remembering this miraculous sacred conversation of Lord Sri Krishna and Arjuna, my heart thrills over and over again. Tatscha samsmritya samsmritya rupam atya bhutam hare vishmayo me vahan rajam rishyami cha puna puna. Tatscha samsmritya samsmritya rupam majya bhutam hare vishmayo me mahan rajam rishyami cha puna puna. And remembering, O King, I marvel at that astonishing, almighty, universal form of the Supreme Lord Hari, and my whole being thrills with ecstasy. Jatra Yogeshwara Krishna Jatra Parto Dana Daraha Tatra Sri Vajayo Bhutir Dhruvantir Matira Mama Jatya Yogeshwara Krishna Jato Parto Dano Dara Tatra Sri Vajayo Bhutir Dhruvantir Matir Mama. Where there is Yogeshwara Krishna and where there is Arjuna, the winner of wealth with bow in hand, there prevails fortune, victory, prosperity and virtue. This is my opinion. Iti Sri Mahabharate Satta Sahasrayam Samhittayam Vaishyasikyam Bhishma Parvani Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatso Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Moksha Yoga Namasta Darso Jayaha. End of the 18th chapter, The Path of Liberation, from the conversation of Sri Krishna and Arjuna in Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, the Yoga scripture of transcendental knowledge in Bhishma Parva of Sri Mahabharata, the holy scripture revealed by Srila Vyasadeva in 100,000 verses. Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. This is the last chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and fortunately we have Maharaj with us to explain the meaning of this to us.
Well, this is the longest chapter in the Gita, I think.
Yes.
Various things can be said, but maybe to start, does anyone have any question or desire to discuss any particular aspect of the chapter?
I got one.
Okay.
It is in verse 41. Okay. Sri Krishna, Lord Krishna said that we got four castes, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. How can we classify the caste within us as a living being?
What do you mean by within us?
That is, how are you going to classify that? Four classes of the souls, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya,
Shudra.
Is it according to that we born in a Brahman family, we can become a Brahman? Or we born in a Kshatriya family, we can become a Kshatriya? Or according to the nature of our work?
Well, earlier in Gita, the Lord says, Guna Karma Vibhagash Chaturvanam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagash. That I, these four varnas were created by me according to guna and karma, according to the actions and characteristics or qualities of those things, or what they perform. So they are not qualities of the soul per se, but they are like roles that souls may play in a particular life, or for a particular time. But we can say that at present in the Kali Yuga, these things are like only existing in some decayed remnant form. You know, a society properly organized according to them, we don't find that. So, you know, while the ambition or the good desire for the betterment of the world of some is to try to establish that socially, right? Even some devotees, they're thinking, this is the cause, you know, to try to uplift the world, we need to establish this. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he established what he called the Daiva Varnashram, right? But, and implying that there's also what they may call Asura Varnashram, that someone may adhere to all of the qualities of any of the Varnas, even the Brahmins, and also still be an Asura. Right? So, really, our focus will be in the words of Chaitanya Dev. And he said, Naham Varni Natagriha Padir Navanaspas Tirvam. That I am not a Brahman, I am not a Kshatriya, I am not a Vaishya, I am not a Shudra, not Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Grihastha, Sannas. I am a servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas, servant of the servant of the Lord. This is Mahaprabhu's like clearing of these things, you know. And this gives us a transcendental, universally applicable ideal that can be lived out and gloriously cultivated in the midst of any circumstances, as socially organized or disorganized as they may be. And in our practical life, things are guided by service, right? In the world, the Vaishnava world, things are organized according to seva, and people play different roles within the Vaishnava community according to the seva they perform. We observe this, right? In the style of our Guru Varga, whatever qualities someone has, let them engage those qualities in the service of the Lord. And what more, if they are ready for the suicide squad, if they are ready for full surrendered life, then let them perform even seva that they don't have the qualities for. Let them perform whatever seva is required at any given moment. This is like another domain. So in our simple life, you know, we cannot really say so much. We don't actually study so much the matters of social organization or the duties of the varnas. I can tell you plenty, you know. I'm sure some pundits could tell you many, many things about the duties of this varna and that varna and so many things. But we are concerned with the soul's eternal relationship with the Lord and cultivating that in the midst of our present circumstances, whatever they may be. So in the beginning of Gita, when the Lord describes Swadharma and Paradharma, then there is also a commentary, even here, where Param Guru Maharaj says that Swadharma may in general be understood to be our Varnashram Dharma, and Paradharma may be thought to mean another's role in Varnashram Dharma. Another person's role in Varnashram Dharma. But he gave it as Swadharma means the Atma's Dharma. Swa, our own meaning in a spiritual level. And that Dharma is the service of Krishna. And Paradharma means the Dharma of the mind, the body, the ego, the world. Even these Varnashram Dharma is Paradharma. in comparison to our the dharma of the soul. So when Krishna here, he says sarva dharman parityaja. Primary meaning of sarva dharman is varnashram dharma. All the features of varnashram dharma, that means sarva dharma. Neglecting all of those things, surrender to me. And don't be concerned about any consequences that are caused by that. I will rectify them. Don't worry about breaking those rules. In other words, break them. Right? Once, if we're on this subject, you know, there's a potentially dangerous soundbite of Param Guru Maharaj, where he begins this one subject and he says, the primary duty of a Rupanuga Vaishnava is to break the law. And then he goes on to explain something about what he calls parakiya bhajan and some higher devotional concept, you know. But when he's starting that thing, you don't know where he's going, and if you just cut that part, at least for me, I remember the first time hearing it, I'm like, where is this going? You know? But then he was like, oh wow, you know, he went very high with that. But that is there, to break the law, means to break even the law of varnashram dharma. So what is the real duty of everyone in the varnashram dharma? To serve Krishna. This is the duty of everyone in the varnashram dharma. And then, how to go about that? Then that's what we read about today. Right? Tyag, karma, buddhi, these various things. How to play out your role in the world in service to Krishna, in the right way. So then it explains what is the mode of goodness, the proper way to go about action, to go about knowledge, determination, etc. So, in short, that means to, right off the top, that main gist is given there. What is sannyas and what is tyag? Then he says to give up selfish action and give up the fruits of action. These are the things we need. And what's left? What's left if you give up action for any selfish purpose and you give up the result of even performing actions for the sake of others? What's left for you? Really? Serve Krishna? But the intermediary zone is just to do what you're doing in the spirit of duty. Do what you're doing for the sake that it ought to be done, with the conviction that it's what is best for all things considered. So that is the subject plane, and then the transcendental planes, where we go beyond a sense of duty to a sense of servitude to Krishna. So that's the main conclusion of this whole chapter and the whole Gita as an entire thing, right? Is that in general, varnashram dharma, adherence to that, will purify people. It will purify their consciousness by engaging them in a spirit of selfless action, whereby they become disentangled in karma and let go of attachment to the fruits of their actions, and so on and so forth. It will be in general beneficial for them. But more beneficial will be to surrender to Krishna, to develop faith in Krishna and surrender to Him. This is the higher, more progressive path. And thus, Gita is so famous, people in general like it, and pure Vaishnavas like it too. Because both things are given there. Right? That line Gurudev so many times referred to, Jitesh Tasi Tathakuru. As you like, you can do. Gurudev would say like that, you know. As you like, you do. That was his rendering. Meaning that, you know, even Krishna is giving so many instructions, but lastly, you do what you like. You do what you want to do. I mean, it ought to be coming from you. It ought to be an exertion of your independent desire for goodness, or whatever it may be. So he's not forcing people to transcend these things, but he's giving them the option. And then according to their condition, they can do so, and they will be benefited sooner or later. This is a broad summary of the subject. Is that where you wanted to go with this, or any other point related to the varnas that you wanted to discuss? I'm asking.
No, I'm happy at the moment.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I have a question, ma'am.
Okay.
If I can try and get it out. I'm told two things at the same time. One, that I've never been in the spiritual world, that I'm Tathasta, and I have no rights and I can only interfere. But I'm also told that it's my birthright and it's my home.
Mm-hmm.
I need to harmonize both of those.
Good question. An apparent contradiction, isn't it? This point was discussed. What does it mean, back to Godhead? Right? Some people took it one way, some people took it another. Back to Godhead means we have to go back, that means we were there before. It's a plain thing. Are you saying he's wrong? Some people took it like that. Right? But Param Guru Maharaj dealt with this on many occasions. And it comes to a fine point of understanding, which is that there is inherent adaptability or potential within the soul for the Lord's service. Right? So it's always been there, but yet it also hasn't. The potential or the possibility, the capability, the opportunity has always been there. But active expression of that or cultivation of that may not have been. So it both has and has not always been there. And thus, sometimes it's described that it hasn't been there and that it needs to be, you know, realized and understood, and someday we may reach that place. But because that potential has always been there, that fundamental capacity is within us, or is our proper place, it is described as something that we return to, or something that we rediscover. So these are like ways of speaking, you know, to say we have to go back home, back to God, you know, Param Guru Maharaj said. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, our attitude can be like, we're on our way home, as we're chanting this, like, we're chanting on the way home. Yeah. But then you may say, how can I go home to somewhere I've never been? Yeah. Then another way to conceive of that is that home proper is a place where your best interest is understood by those around you better than you, and wanted more than you want it. And is a place that isn't necessarily associated with something in the past, but associated with a sense of nourishment and a sense of shelter that can be perceived and felt instantaneously upon being exposed to it. And this is something that many people find in spiritual life. You know, you find many people, they meet the devotees and they say, oh, it was like I finally came home. But they left home to join the devotees. And they like the devotees better than their family. They're saying, oh, I came home. Now I feel like I'm home with devotees. But that doesn't mean that they're comparing the devotees to their house. Like, my house is really the best. And now I found this other place that's just like that. It really gives me this home away from home feeling. So I like the devotees. They mean, like, leaving what I thought was my home. This really is my home. And they come to it, and yet they describe it as something that they've always known, or something that has always been there, but yet it's also something that they've just arrived at. And this is something that is wonderful, right? That there can be something that comes to us at some time as new, but immediately upon experiencing it, it's recognized or perceived as something that's so immediate and like compatible with my nature that it's as though it's always been there. It's extremely familiar, although it's very new. And it's simultaneous, like upon receiving it, it's as though it was never not there. This is a mysterious feeling in the hearts of the devotees. Like Vasudev Ghosh, he sings a song that Param Guru Maharaj often sang. Jadi Gaura na hoto, tabe ki hoito, kemoni dharitam. A very high expression. Saying, if Mahaprabhu had not come, then what would have been? You know, how would we have lived? How would we have carried on with our lives? How would we have maintained our bodies? And we can say, you know, millions of people for thousands of years are living before Mahaprabhu came to the earth. But he's saying, if Mahaprabhu hadn't come, how would we live? And even in his own life, he lived for many years before he met Mahaprabhu. But upon getting connection with Mahaprabhu, it became so pivotal, so profoundly central and vital in his life, that although at some point he acquired that connection, the ability to conceive of life prior to that connection is like erased, or becomes undesirable, or just no longer, like, doesn't make sense somehow. You know? I don't know if this is a suitable analogy, but perhaps you've experienced, if you grew up in an area where houses were being built on land and things, if you go back to that place later and you see so many houses, it's very hard to remember what it looked like before the houses were there. It's like, you know, where was the lot? And the, you know, it's like, it's gone.
Jai.
So it's like, although it was somehow before, once it's changed, you like, you don't know what it was before somehow. So this sort of thing, also we hear in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, right? Gopu Kumar is on this journey, and he's going from plane to plane, and everywhere he goes, he feels some, like he's getting to some sort of closer proximity to what he's searching for. And this is a mysterious thing. How is he searching if he doesn't know what he's searching for? You know? Or even in general, especially, I'm on a spiritual journey. And then you ask people, like, so what exactly are you looking for? Well, that's the first question I have too. I don't know. Like, I'm on this big journey. What are you looking for? Well, I don't know. But that's actually, that's real in the sense, like, to not know what we even should want. That's also a stage to pass through. And to try to discover what it is we want is, in many cases, the most difficult part of the journey, or the most, like, precarious. Once it's clear what ought to be wanted, then we can go single-mindedly straightforward. But until we acquire that, we may only be treading water or going in the wrong direction. You know. So that was in one way what Mahaprabhu was. I remember hearing, you know, Mahaprabhu praised in that way, saying he taught us what to want. He came and showed us, of all things to search for this. What is the most essential, fundamental necessity of every living being? Clearly conceive that, want that. And upon acquiring that want, we come to feel that that is what I've always wanted. And then maybe someday we actually get what it is we want. And then further it's confirmed, oh yeah, that is what I always wanted, that I didn't know I was wanting when I was wanting it, and then someone helped me understand that I was wanting that when I didn't know that that's what I was actually wanting. And it's like, So Gopu Kumar is going plane after plane, and finding some semblance, some further feeling, but then feeling, no, there must be more, there must be more. And then he's pushing on, pushing on, pushing on. And then, until finally, he feels at home. And he reaches this place that, you know, like, encompasses him, embraces him in every possible way. and he feels completely at home. Which is to say, the ultimate potential for one to be or express of one's eternal nature as a loving servant is realized. Right? This other verse was also quoted of Param Guru Maharaj saying, Pratyanga kandi, pratyanga lagi, pratyakandi, pratyanga mor. That every aspect of my existence is crying for the corresponding aspect of your existence. Or, and sometimes Guru Maharaj, this is like a Madhura Rasa statement, but sometimes he explained it in a very, very broad way, saying, like, every particle of my existence is hankering for the appropriate corresponding particle of the atmosphere or of the environment. And when those two things like meet in full, you have whatever it is that people describe as divine feeling, ecstasy, joy, you know, eagerness, or so many words are used, you know, for that state. So to reach that, we can say is the one sense of homecoming or completeness or something like that. So it's both something that we aspire to, that we've yet to experience, but yet somehow some subtle or vague or hazy degree of that is felt at a prior stage, whereby people can feel there's like more intensity of that substance as I move in this direction. So thus, it's described in two ways. In one way, that we've never had it and that we have to get there. In another way, that we're returning to it. So they both have application. They're both nice. And if we can properly get them to line up, then it's all happily makes sense. You know, if we sort of cut our reference point to like one set of sources and deny others, we can get into problematic positions. But if we incorporate the whole of what has been revealed and what is taught by those who know as how to frame the subject, then it all fits together in a beautiful way. Yes?
One question. You know, Shuddha Teta Dapar Kodi, that is four yoga. And we know in the first religion in the world is Sanatana Dharma. When come this other religion, is it created by God or created by people?
What do you mean by other religion?
Like other religion come in the world, like Sanatana, Christianity, Islam, Buddhist, Jaina.
Mm-hmm.
Who is created that religion, and when that religion come, rest of religion?
Well, you know, in 20, you know, year number blah 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 blah, this one started, and year, you know. I mean, we can say really, like, this world is the world for people who are averse to Krishna. That's why this world exists. And in this zone that's made for the bad kids to go and be bad, you know, then, you know, various attempts are made, or repeated attempts are made to establish and instill the dharma in the hearts of people. And that's happening like waves, over and over again. So, at different times, on different continents, different forms, different features, it may well be, right, that the Lord or those directly empowered by the Lord have come to uplift the people with various teachings, guidance, ways by which people can progress in the realization of their eternal nature and their eternal relationship with the Lord. You know. And we can say, to the extent that in any of these cases people have followed the systems or cultures that are created and have matured in that realization of the eternal self as a loving servant and as a soul meant to be surrendered to God, then those things have had value, and those persons have received some grace from the Lord in their life. Like this, in an abstract way we can say. But for us to take the position of saying this culture is bona fide, this one is not, this book is right, this book is wrong, you know, what kind of information do we really have to base that on? We have the hearsay of so many scholars, so many cultural trends. It's not really even ultimately necessary for us to say so. You know, our gurus have at times given more credence to certain Western traditions than others, and we can quote those things, but to really abstract the things from exact teachers or exact books to concepts, to principles, like how clearly has the concept of the eternal soul, the concept of the eternal loving Lord been manifest? To what extent have people grasped the idea of lovingly in surrendered mood serving him? To that extent, whatever it is has value. So, you know, that's experienced to a greater or lesser extent by people and individuals within cultures and traditions. So it's hard to generalize on the basis of whole bodies or language, you know. We can say even within our tradition, there's all kinds of terrible stuff going on that we won't say is God-given in this and that and so many things, right? So in the case of others, we can look at the faults or we can look at the qualities, you know. It's all like, you know, complex. And what we want to derive from it is recognition for wherever there is any sincere cultivation of the soul's true nature of loving service to the Lord, wherever that's present, we admire that, we respect that. But in our own culture, right, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Ami tul dur bhaga ami vaishnava na chini, more kripa koribena vaishnava adoni. I am so unfortunate, I cannot recognize who is a Vaishnava. But if any Vaishnava mercifully shows me they're a Vaishnava, then I can recognize them. Then I will be blessed by them. So, if I can't even recognize who's a Vaishnava, then I'm going to, like, through so many culture, language, history, hearsay, like, so much potential for, like, distortion and misinformation, I'm going to go to say, yeah, these guys are right, these guys are wrong, this is that. It's, like, so complex, you know? But if any person comes and shows me their wonderful, devoted spiritual nature, I will come and happily show respect to them and feel blessed to receive their you know, example and presence in life. You know, people, you know, like Saraswati Thakur, you know, he said, you know, show me your eternal form and then I'll tell you what who you are. Like, you know, like, you know, to what extent do I even have the ability to perceive truth? That's also a function of the grace of the Lord, you know, or what I'm blessed to perceive. So the whole thing is like floating above us beyond what we can like block right, like bolt down into our kind of like theory of the way it is or the way it isn't or things like that. So based on cultural trends or based on certain quotes, we can like find many parallels between so many texts and so many cultures, and some people are inclined to like run with that, and it's all one, and it's all the same, and it's all good, and it's all, you know, so obvious, and blah, 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 blah. And from another perspective, if you look at certain things cleverly, it's very hard to see that these things are congruent. It can be very difficult at times to see the congruence between them when, like, direct mutually opposing instructions are given by persons both attributed with the same authority of absolute divinity. But fundamentally, you know, our faith is that although we don't see it, it all makes sense. Whether or not I see it, it actually doesn't matter. But He is there. It's his world. He's running it. He's doing it according to his demand. And, you know, the lesson more so is not like how do us to like, you know, rack up the scholarship and the knowledge and like get it all to like fit into our grid, but more just to say, like, ultimately, perpetually, the necessary conclusion is that it's beyond what we can understand, and that we have to just humbly surrender and pray to be of service to him, how we ought to be according to how he would like, and to the extent that he makes us aware of that. That's like the simple, safe, like, mode amongst all of these things, without like turning it, like standing on any kind of speculative like terrain, you know. And at least I can say for myself, over the course of time, that feels like more and more authentic and nice to just like deal with it on a completely a case by case, person to person basis, on the basis of like humble prayer to appreciate. And on that level, you can have many wonderful, you can come to have many wonderful exchanges with people and see something that can really feel like a divine presence or blessing in their life, whether they're from tradition A, B, C, or D, you know, or beginning in time period 1, 2, 3, or 4. So, you know, again, you know, Dharma Sung Stapanartaya. Sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord again and again is coming to establish the Dharma. You know, and he makes himself known to whom he wants, when he wants, howsoever he wants. So who am I to say when he does and does not do that? Rather, I'm like praying to be able to get it when he does it even once at all. Please let me get that and appreciate that. Would you like to speak to that at all, Primo?
Yeah, I can say a few things. Just want to say, I can, as far as this idea of Sanatana Dharma, this chapter, Krishna is establishing what is Sanatana Dharma. And this is a very fundamental point and an important point for us to understand. We have to say plainly and clearly, although it may not be received by everybody happily, but Hindu Dharma is not Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma is the cultivation of devotion to Lord Krishna. This is Krishna saying this, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, give up all these other dharmas. Srila Guru Maharaj said, when we are doing the kirtan of Lord Krishna, if Krishna's name is replaced by any other god or goddess, that's not actually kirtan. The kirtan, full real kirtan, can only be Krishna kirtan. Must be Krishna kirtan. Must come to Krishna. And those who are surrendered to Krishna. And this is the, you can say, the bedrock of this chapter is that Krishna is teaching now Sharanagati. That Sharanagati is the basis now. Surrender to me, he's telling Arjuna. Surrender to me and come to me. And that Sarva Dharma means all of those other things that you think are your religion. Forget that. Come to me. And the devotees of Krishna, they're very exclusively surrendered to him. Even, especially in the Gaudiya line, even the worship of Lakshmi Narayan, they find, doesn't appeal to them. And I say that with the utmost reverence. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's made this expression. If you give too much attention to the rules and regulations, you may be cast down to Vaikuntha. So, it's ludicrous that we even say such things with our mouth. He can say that, because he's situated in Brajadam. But if we say that, maybe we'll be cast down to hell for saying such a thing. But from that, we have to understand that our highest aspiration is the service of Krishna in Brajadam. That we consider to be the highest religion. This to be actual, real Sanatana Dharma. And because what does it mean? If you say Sanatana, Sanatana means eternal. No one's eternally a Hindu. But everyone is eternally a jiva soul. And jiva soul means jivara shorupahoi nityara krishna das. This Mahaprabhu explained this to Sanatan Goswami. So we have to understand this point, and that therefore when we come to this line we have to dedicate ourselves exclusively to the worship and service of Lord Krishna and his devotees. In Madras we heard from Guru Maharaj, they built the Madras Gaudiya Mutt. Guru Maharaj was like in charge of that, building that and raising the funds for that. And a lot of the funds was given by public money from the public. So one time, some people came there and they said, we want to make Kartikeya Puja here and in your mot. So because the money was given by the public, so it should be used for the benefit of the public, for their function. And one function we want to make is Kartikeya Puja. And when Saraswati Thakur heard this, he said, then give the money back to them. He said, because this hall where they wanted, means the Nat Mandir, where they wanted to make this puja, he said, this hall has been dedicated to the service of Krishna. And to worship any other god or goddess in this hall will be a direct offense to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. This was his conclusion. Because this has been dedicated for Krishna's service. No one else's, no other god, no other goddess. But this is not only the temple, this is ourself too. We have come to the lotus feet of Gurudev and we have surrendered ourselves to say, I am exclusively Krishna Bhakta. I am Krishna Bhakta, not any other devotee of any other god or goddess. And I cannot go to any other god or goddess. Because that means I have taken the, it's like a marriage. When you are married to someone, you can't go with someone else, another lady or another husband. You've made your vow. This is my chosen partner. And you've made a vow to that in whatever tradition or whichever way it's done that. So this is the same thing. We have made a vow that I am dedicated my life for the worship of Lord Krishna, no one else. And I cannot go here or I cannot go there. I can only go there to the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. And this is important for us to understand this. This is the meaning when Krishna says Sarva Dharma Parityaja. It doesn't just mean, you know, your duty in the world. It means your conception of what your religion is even. Leave that, surrender to me. And Krishna's not just telling that to Arjuna, he's telling that to all of us. Arjuna is our proxy, you can say. So he's telling that to all of us. And he tells Arjuna, this is the most confidential of all my teachings. Why am I telling this to you? Because you're dear to me. And so in that way, he's saying that to us. I'm revealing this secret to you today. And he says, Sarva Gu Yataman, this is like the most secret of all secrets. Even admonishes Arjuna, don't tell this to the faithless, don't tell this to those who are averse to me, and you mustn't tell that. But the devotees of the Lord, they're even more merciful than the Lord himself. They take the risk of telling others this. Even sometimes to those who may be averse to the Lord or opposed to the worship of the Lord. And it's a risk that they take. It's not, and we should not think that, you know, by preaching that, oh, Krishna will absolve us of any risk. No, we take that risk. That means we take the responsibility for that also. One time when I was, maybe I shouldn't even tell this, but one time when I was doing book distribution when I was in ISKCON, and I was with one devotee, and we were giving Gitas to people, and this man took the Gita and he kicked it across the street, and my friend, the devotee who was with me, he ran and picked it up and tried to again to give it to him, and I grabbed him by the hand and I said, don't give it to him, You know, he's going to kick it across the street.
He has no respect.
Don't do that. Don't give it to him. And he said, no, Prabhu, you don't understand. Even if he just touches it, he'll get so much benefit. I said, Prabhu, I really don't think that's what it means. and if you give it to him and he makes offense, that's your on your head. You're responsible for that. Now, don't do that. So, you know, we must be responsible. When we tell people about Krishna, we have to be responsible for that. You know, there's a story about the Eskimos. When the Christian preachers came to tell the Eskimos about Jesus, and after the head of the tribe, he came to them and he said, "So what you're saying is, if anyone doesn't accept Christ as their savior, then they have to burn in hell for eternity." Says yes, this is the fact. So then that man, the head of the Eskimo tribe, he said, but those who have never heard anything about Jesus, will they also be cast into? He said, no, of course not. If they don't know anything, he said, then it's better that you didn't tell us anything, isn't it? Why did you tell us then? We were better off before you told us. So. Of course, we don't believe that God would ever burn anyone for eternity. Not a loving God. We believe in a loving God. And sometimes maybe we deserve to be a little burnt, but not forever. But to preach, or you know, to share Krishna consciousness with other people means we take a risk when we do that. That the risk is that they may be offended by us, by our trying to reach out to them. Sometimes people are offended by that. Just like, you know, when you're deeply asleep and somebody tries to wake you from your sleep, well, you may become angry with them. Why are you waking me? You know, I'm having a nice dream. And it's like that. So,
Prabhu, can I make one correction here? Hindu dharma was not there. No, Hindu means that
come from Shindo.
I understand all that. What I'm saying is, this Panchupasana and worship of many gods, that is not Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma, and that which has become known as Hinduism. Never mind about how it came about.
What I'm trying to say to you, that it was started by the Muslims, who came to Muhammad came 694, okay?
No, 570.
I read it, 694.
Anyway,
yeah, they came to India to loot India. At that time, there was a river called river Shindu.
I know all that.
Oh, that one.
We
so,
know this.
But in fact, Hindu dharma did not exist before. It was Sanatana Dharma all the time. You know?
But my point is, what has been come to be known as Hindu dharma? Every Hindu says, I'm a Hindu. They don't say, I don't accept that. But whether a Hindu, whether they call themselves Hindu or follower of Vedic religion,
yeah,
or whatever it may be, Vedic religion also is not Sanatana Dharma in the true sense. Sanatana Dharma is surrender to Krishna. That is actual Sanatana Dharma. Jiva Rasurupahoi Nityara Krishna Das. Even Vedic religion is not teaching the religion of the soul. There are so many. It's such a broad spectrum, in the teaching of the Veda.
Yeah,
that's the very reason why Veda Vyas compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam, the teaching of Veda Vyas is, what Guru Maharaj said, the junior most scripture, but with the senior most thought. Because Vyasadeva also, he's also progressive. He's not stagnant. So he's at the very fullness of his spiritual realization, and at that stage he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is to eliminate anything which is superfluous to the religion of the soul. The religion of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is Sanatana Dharma, the religion of Srimad Bhagavatam. You can say this is real, the real meaning of Sanatana Dharma.
Also say the Sanatana Dharma means you, sir. Peace are past and present, and it is universal, never destroyed. That is Sanatana.
Yeah, Sanatana means that.
That is the meaning.
So we have to understand what that is, and that actually is the the religion of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is actually the only religion which you can say is pure Sanatana Dharma, if we want to use that term. Actually, my preference, and I think the preference of most Vaishnavas, is Jaiva Dharma. Rather than Sanatana Dharma, Jaiva Dharma, because that means the religion of the soul. And that's the same for everyone. So like Prabhu's question, your question about like where do the different religions come, they're all expressions of that to a lesser or greater degree, that's all. According to the ability of the people to understand that and appreciate that. And it's only because of the teacher of that time or place or whatever that it's become an ism, you know, Muhammadism or Christism or Judaism.
Is in Kali Yuga or Dwapara Yuga, other religions?
Yes, there are other religions in many times, but
not in, you know, the
Nana Muni, Nana Moksha.
Yeah.
Not Shanta Yuga, not Tata Yuga. Maybe I'm not find out this thing. I try to find out, but I didn't get, because you know, the Christianity like 2020.
You see that?
Then 570, you know, Islam. Yeah.
But the point is, even in Satya Yuga, there were many different religious conceptions, because the rishis and muni, right? Rishi means someone who comes up with a new idea.
Rishi means a heart from a Lord. Muni means mind for Lord.
Muni, Guru Maharaj said muni means who practices their religion perfectly. That's muni, and who is rishi? They're like PhD in religion. They've come up with a new thesis. They're presenting a new thesis, and their thesis, that makes them a rishi.
Also, I find that thing, the rishi is like heart connected direct to Lord, you know,
maybe that, but ultimately, Guru Maharaj, he has taught us that substance is the thing. What is the substance of the thing? We're looking for that. And so many external things, that's not so important. What's important is the substance. And Guru Maharaj gives that very nice example, simple example. What is more important, the nose or the breath? So nose, maybe you've got a very nice nose, or maybe you've not got a very nice nose, and maybe you've had plastic surgery to make it a very nice nose. That's okay. But if through your nose you can't breathe, then it has no utility. But even if you lose your nose, if you can still breathe, then you can live. So similarly, you know, the form is one thing. The form has some place and some purpose, because the form is what the substance is couched in, presented in. But ultimately, when the form and substance come to clash with one another, the form can be left, and the substance, we have to take the substance of the thing. And this is our Guru Maharaj's teaching, actually. Substance over form. And he speaks like this all the time. Even many times he said, I'm a form breaker. I'm a form breaker. And, you know, many people couldn't understand what he means by that. But it means that, you know, what is the form? And we see this is the tradition of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev. He was criticized by the, even today people criticize, he caused havoc in the society. Brahmins and outcasts eating together. Okay, that may be for us, that doesn't mean anything, but for those of you who know what is like high Brahmin culture, there's no question of that, you know, Brahmins eating with Shudras or you know, but Mahaprabhu didn't care for any of that.
Yes,
Vaishnava, everyone can, and so people said, oh, he created a havoc in society. But actually what Mahaprabhu came to give is prema dharma. And as Maharaj was saying right at the beginning of his talk, from your question, is that beyond Varnashram is Mahaprabhu's religion of love, which every soul can practice, no matter if they're from the highest Brahmin family or if they're Nishada. That means me, I'm a Nishada. According to Manu, I'm not fit to be seen. Well, you know, my family are cow killers. My father, that was his job, killing cows in the slaughterhouse. He did that as a job. Then my face should not be seen by Brahmins. But this is, Mahaprabhu has come for something other than that. And another point, just to clarify, just, and maybe it's just the way you phrased it, but it is not that the varna and ashram, that they're qualities of the soul. They're not. The soul, it's not that there's Brahmin souls and Kshatriya souls and Vaishya souls. The soul is soul. And these are acquired attributes from our association in this material world, according to our birth, according to our qualities, according to all these things. But they're temporary. They are temporary things. And Krishna explaining in the 18th chapter, according to your nature, you can say inborn nature, then you should do your duty according to your nature and offer that as to me. And by doing that duty, you will become purified and you will rise up. But then, just after explaining all that, then he says, now just forget all about that and just surrender to me. And Guru Maharaj saying, this is where Srimad Bhagavatam begins. This is the basis of Sharanagati. So there's no one can say that they're more qualified or less qualified for Sharanagati, because everyone's soul is by nature the same. It's not that, you know, my soul's better than your soul, or, you know, I've got an Indian soul, you've got an American soul, you've got soul is soul. Ultimately, real Jiva Dharma, Sanatana Dharma, is the religion of the soul. It's the same for everybody. Now that plane we have to... And in this chapter, Krishna says that those who realize this, even if they destroy the whole world, they don't suffer a murderer's consequence. Because they're not... That's inconsequential to them. And Guru Maharaj just said, that's the plane of life that we wish to attach ourselves to. Not to the temporary plane of, you know, loss and gain and birth and death and all of these things that are happening in this world.
Could we say that most other religions are like medicine, but Sanatana Dharma is just reality?
Yeah, everything comes in increments. So actually there's only one religion. This is the point. There's only one religion, and that is loving service to God. And any religious teacher that teaches that, whatever, like, you know, rubber stamp or whatever label that may go under, if they're teaching pure love of God, that's Sanatana Dharma.
We had this conversation through the week, and I wanted some, like, so I went to the internet, and Srila Prabhupada said that Islam is Vaishnavism and Mohammed was a Vaishnav. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proved it in his conversation with Kazi.
Yeah, in a broad sense, this is the point that we should understand, is that everything that exhorts us to surrender to God, that's Vaishnavism. And it's only a matter of degree. So, you know, Guru Maharaj has also given this example, that, you know, of the sun, very simple example of the sun, and the planets all the planets revolve around the sun, in an orbit around the sun. At least that's the perceived wisdom that most of us accept. That then those planets that are closer to the sun, their nature is going to be very similar to the sun, very hot and, you know, like. But those that are further away from the sun, they're going to be different, you know, less similar to the sun. So similarly, you know, if we say that God is the sun in this analogy, he's the center, and all religious conceptions are orbiting around him.
Right.
Some are closer and some are further away. That's all. And it's not that, you know, that we condemn one and exalt another necessarily. Is only that, you know, from an objective point of view, we can say where do we find the highest revelation of divinity. And this, you know, this means we have to be a little bit unbiased in our thinking. Because most people in the world, they're very much attached to the religion or the culture of their birth. And we can't say that we're also not, don't have any attachment with, you know, like when I've been around the world, even when I'm coming back from India, I've been in the Vrindavan or Navadvipa, and I'm landing in Heathrow Airport, I think, oh, home. Feels good, you know, I'm coming home. Because that's my conditioning, to think in that way. That shows that, you know, there's something spiritually not quite right with me, because that I should be thinking Vrindavan is my home. We should all be thinking like that. But unfortunately, we're not in that stage of consciousness. So we're all attached to the things of our birth. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says even great sages and saints, in their writings, they may say that where they're born and, you know, this place is the highest place or the best place in the world. And, all of these things. We all have some, you know, we're all products of our environment to a lesser or greater degree. But cutting through all that, we have to go to the substance again, the substance of the teaching, the substance of what is what. And when we come to that, although we may not be able to fully live to that standard, if that's our aspiration, then that's perfect. Guru Maharaj said a man should be judged by his ideal in life. So we may be short of our ideal, but the point is not to compromise our ideal. We may see the peak of Everest in the distance, but we're not going to be satisfied with any other mountain. That's the one we're aiming for. It may be a long way off, but that's the one we're going to. That's what it means, Krishna consciousness means. We've accepted this is the highest teaching. And if anyone can show us something higher, good, let's see it. We're not closed to that either. But we don't think that there's anything higher. Of course, in every religion, a practitioner of every religion will say the same thing. But still, objectively, we can see. You know, like in a very simple example, you know, like in Christianity, Islam, Judaism, the foundation is good, you know. God is supreme, we must surrender to God. Like Lord Jesus said, love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. This is Vaishnavism. This is the teaching of Vaishnavism. But who is God? And what is his nature? Well, there, these religious conceptions are silent, more or less. They can't give that information. But that information is in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that the day will come when all intelligent men and women of the world must accept the religion of Mahaprabhu as the sum and bonum. So, you know, because the only thing that stops us from accepting that is our prejudice and our conditioning to that. If someone will say, yes, I'm a devotee of God, I give my life to God, and you say, well, here's some more information about God. No, I'm not interested in that. That's not in my book. You see, I had a Christian friend, and he asked me this question. He said, "Do you believe in God?" "Yes, I believe in God." He said so, and I said, "But I'm not a Christian." And he said, "Oh, then you know, look, Jesus said if you don't accept Him as your personal savior, etc., etc., etc." And I said, "Let me ask you this question: is God all merciful?" "Yes, he's all merciful." "All loving to his creation?" "Yes." All forgiving?" "Yes." "Then this is my question to you. If when I die and I go before my, will I go before my maker?" "Yes, definitely, to be judged." He says, "Yes, you'll be before your maker to be judged." "Okay, good. Then if I say to him, oh, I tried my whole life to find you and, oh, I went on a wrong path thinking I was trying to find you. Now I see you as you are. Will you accept me?" What will he say? He said, "Yes, of course, he'll accept you." He said, "Then no problem. Then no problem, is there?" And I said, but my question to you then is, if when you go before your maker, it's not Lord Jesus sitting there, but it's the Buddha sitting there, will you surrender? He said, never! Never! So I said, well, that's the difference between you and I. You see, so we're stubbornly attached to our idea of that, and we can't accept that we could be wrong. No, but we're all flawed, aren't we? We could all be wrong. We don't know. We don't know. But there are those who do know. You know, this question that people say, oh, well, no one's ever seen God. Well, yeah, people have seen God. It's just that you don't know those people. You've never met those people. But there are people who know God and seen God. They say, you know, like this example, I've given this example before. You know, like if you know, they made this hydro collider, what it was called, you know, in Switzerland, right? To find this Higgs boson God particle, right? And it's like, what, 4 miles long, this thing there, you know? And they did this experiment, and they discovered it's real. They found it, right? They said, you know, there was a danger. They might, like, break the whole universe by doing it, but they're going to try it anyway. And they said they did it, and they proved that it worked, that it's there, that this particle exists, okay? So my daughter went there a couple of years ago and with her friend and went to see it. So I said to her, did they show you the Higgs boson particle while you were there? And she said, no, of course not. They, you know, they took years to make this thing that they showed it. And I said, so why do you believe that what they're saying is true? So, well, they did all the experiments, they did everything, and they proved it. And they can show the research, they can show everything. I said, oh, but they didn't show you it, did they? They didn't show it to you. So you have to accept their research and their evidence or not, right? That's your choice, whether you accept that or not. You may say, oh, it's a big fraud. Or you may say, yeah, I accept what they say. It all looks convincing to me. But they're not going to be able to say, yeah, come on in. We'll set it all up and we'll show it to you yourself. So similarly, there are people who've seen God and know God, and they have given their evidence in the scripture. Yeah. The saints and the sages, they've given their evidence. It's up to you whether you accept that or not.
Yeah.
Just as much as any scientific thing. They're not going to show it you themselves. But we accept what they say, right? That these scientists, they're not frauds, that they did this experiment, you know, and they proved it. Why do we accept that? Because we accept that they're authorities, that they're not charlatans.
No.
So why shouldn't we accept the conclusion of Vedavyas? Why shouldn't we accept what Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Deva has come to give to the world? He's come to show that to us, and it's up to us whether we accept that or not. So it's if somebody says to you, no one's seen God, no one can prove God, that's not true. No one has seen this Higgs boson particle and no one's proven that, but they have. But if you believe that or if you accept that or not, that's up to you, isn't it? So it's the same thing. There's so much evidence about God in the scripture, and it's up to you whether you accept it or not. Everything we do is based on faith. Everything. We have faith in so many things. It's just part of who we are. When we walk down the street, we have faith that the ground's going to support our weight as we walk along the road. When we eat our cornflakes in the morning, we have faith that it's going to give us nourishment. It's not poison. And when you get on a plane to go to a country you've never been to before, you have faith that they're not going to, you know, fly you off the edge of the world and feed you to some demons or something, aren't they? You believe, you have faith that when the plane lands, you'll be in Australia or wherever it is that you've never been to before. We have faith. Everything we do is based on faith. So it's just a question of where you place your faith, that's all. And that's not irrational or irresponsible or foolishness. It's you just weigh up the evidence and see, does it ring true to you or not? That's all we're asking.
There's one thing in Bengali is called Vishyashe Milai Bostu Torke Bohudu. Vishyashe Milai Bostu Torke Bohudu. If you believe, you get something. If you argue, you don't get it. Vishwas on your
faith.
Yeah, this is an established point in religion.
Yeah.
That you don't, by challenging,
no, you can't read it.
You won't be able to see. You have to have some submissive. Yeah. You have to be submissive to the authority.
Exactly.
And that, otherwise, how will you learn? You know, like there's a saying: a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So it's a fact. First of all, you need to want to know the truth, and if you want to know the truth, truth will come to you. And many different versions of the truth will also come to present themselves to you. But then that's down to your sincerity, which version you accept. And not just your sincerity, but your capacity. Because we're all on a different stage of our spiritual evolution. So for some people, they, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, that's enough for them. But for those who study, you know, like quantum physics, 2 + 2 doesn't always equal 4, sometimes it equals something else. But the infant class, if you try and explain that to the infant class, they won't be able to understand that. But that's not the fault of the maths teacher for the infants. Well, it's beyond their capacity. My daughter asked me, "Can you explain Einstein's theory of relativity?" And I said, "No, I can't. I don't know what that is." But there are people who do know how to explain that, what that means. You know, E equals mc squared. I don't know what that means. Maybe my daughter does. She's a mathematician, but I don't know. But somebody knows. So you know, it doesn't mean that because we don't understand that it's not real or that it's, you know, that it doesn't exist. We're all, you know, we're all different, and we're all at different levels of our own inner evolution. That's also why there are so many religions in the world. Because according to your own spiritual necessity, you'll be attracted to a particular conception. And this is also, you know, given in the Gita. Like, stick to your class. Don't try and go outside your class. Krishna says, you know, do your duty, even imperfectly. Better to do that than to do another man's duty perfectly. But, you know, this is all in the saguna plane. Ultimately, we want to connect with the nirguna plane, and the nirguna plane begins with the principle of sharanagati. Begins and ends with sharanagati, actually. Anyway, it's gone long tonight. As Maharaj said, Gita. This is the longest chapter of the Gita, 78 verses, and conclusion of the Gita. But we won't conclude our class. Our group tonight. We'll have, at least next week, we'll meet again, and we'll discuss like the synopsis of the whole Gita. This is my thinking. Next week, we'll discuss the whole Gita, the synopsis and the meaning, and you know, chapter by chapter, little bit of synopsis of each one, and how the thought progresses, the revelation progresses. And remember, you know, our beloved Srila Govinda Maharaj, he would say that from my childhood I know Bhagavad Gita, I love Bhagavad Gita, but even in my last days, when I read Gita, I'm finding new lights coming to me. You know? So, because it's a living thing, Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, the song of the Lord, so it's living. And newer and deeper revelation can come to us. If we hear submissively from the proper source, through the realized souls. That's why they write so many commentaries about this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur published 2 commentaries, right? Wrote 2 commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. And there are so many Vaishnava commentaries. And they're all wonderful. Like showing a gem. Those who possess that gem, they can show it from different points of view. Look at it from this side, how beautiful the light reflects on it. Now look at it from this side and see another aspect of it. Same jewel, but they can show us in this way. This is the wonderful thing about spiritual life, that it's never finished. So we say, oh, we finished our Gita study group now, but it's never finished. But tonight it's it's finished. Because now it's 9:30 and everyone is tired and my wife's tapping her watch in the door there. So then we have to take prasadam. So we'll stop here. Jai Srila Guru Maharaj, Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad Ki Jai, Jai Sri Krishna Arjun Ki Jai, Nitai Go Premanandi Hari Hari Go, Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Jadavaya Namaha, Hari Harai Nama Krishna Jadavaya Namaha. Jadavaya Madhavaya Kekshavaya.